The Safe House, written by Nikki French, read by Lucy Patterson. I looked around me. This wasn't countryside. It was a wasteland into which bits of countryside had been dropped and then abandoned. A tree or a bush here and there, a hedgerow stripped bare for winter, a sudden field stranded in the mud and marsh. I wanted a geographical feature, a hill, a river, and I couldn't find one. I tugged off a glove with my teeth to look at the map and let it fall onto the slimy grass. The large sheet flapped wildly in the wind until I concertinaed it into a wad and stared at the pale brown contours and dotted red footpaths and dashed red bridleways. I had followed the dotted red line for miles, but had failed to reach the sea wall that would lead me back to the place where I had begun. I peered into the distance. It was miles away, a thin twist of grey against sky and water. I looked at the map again, which seemed to disintegrate under my gaze, an unbroken code of crosses and lines, dots and dashes. I was going to be late for Elsie. I hate being late. I'm never late. I'm always early, the one who's kept waiting, standing crossly under the clock, sitting in a cafe with a cooling cup of tea and a tick of impatience under my right eye. I am never, not ever, late for Elsie. This walk was meant to take exactly 3.5 hours. I twisted the map. I must have failed to see the fork in the path. If I cut across to the left along that thin black line, I could cut off the headland of marsh and meet the seawall just before it reached the hamlet where my car was parked. I shoved the map, now splitting at its folds, into my anorak pocket and picked up the glove. Its cold, muddy fingers closed around my numbing ones. I started to walk. My calf muscles ached and my nose ran, snotty little dribbles down my stinging cheeks. The huge sky threatened rain. Once a dark-coloured bird, its long neck outstretched and its wings heavily battling the air, flew low past me. But otherwise, I was quite alone in a landscape of grey-green marsh and grey-blue sea. Probably something rare and interesting, but I don't know the names of birds. Nor of trees, except obvious ones like weeping willows and the plane trees that stand on every London street, sending out roots to undermine the houses. Nor of flowers, except obvious ones like buttercups and daisies and the ones you buy from a florist on a Friday evening and stick in a vase for when friends come round. Still life roses, irises, chrysanthemums, carnations. But not the feeble plants that were scratching at my boots as I walked towards a small copse that didn't seem to be getting any nearer.